As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Ah, yes, once again, the sun is arising over Missouri, folks, and it's time for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, an umbrella in our hands, and there's a storm overhead. There is a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. Welcome to the Friday, May Day, May 1st, 2009, Communist Celebration Day, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. OracleBroadcasting.com. Got a little website you might want to visit, www.vocallocal.org and ozarksvoter.info, two of them there. My name is William Roberts, and I've got lots of news, lots of facts, and maybe we'll even advance some solutions today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the OracleBroadcasting.com chat room, or pick up the phone and call now. For those with unlimited long-distance access, you can call in the Austin, Texas area, 512-904-8014. Choose option number two, and you can take Oracle with you on the road. Of course, you can join us live on air again. That's 512-904-8014. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. And your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. Again, that's host@vocallocal.org. And for those without internet access listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter Mo, the Big Mo, 65647. Here's a big shout out to Liberty Radio, Owensville, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Gentlemen, thank you so much for carrying this broadcast. Again, our websites are www.vocallocal.org and ozarksvoter.info. The listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065, and the Oracle chat room is open gold. The lows goes lower and the highs go lower. Everything's going lower. Now gold is in the 880 territory. How long will it stay there? Only time will tell. Mesopotamia, from Sumer to Persian Empire, anarchy's roots. We'll go back into all that again and continue our study of anarchy. Of course, lots of news today. But before we get into that news, let's go into the market reports for this May Day. Run around your maypole, folks. Get out there and have your red flag parades, I guess, eh? Friday, May the 1st, 2009, active trading New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was trading off $3 at $883.20. Silver was trading down 10 cents also, trading at $12.27. Platinum off 20 bucks, trading $1,083. Palladium off $4, trading at 212. So we can see all the metals are down. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed yesterday off 17.61 points, trading at 8,168.12. The NASDAQ closed up a fraction, 5.36 points, trading at 1,717.30. That U.S. dollar index was off, is so far off 23 basis points in today's trading, trading at 84.51. Crude oil up 35 cents, trading at $51.47 a barrel for light sweet crude. The lows and the highs in the spot market, 879.20 for a low, 889.10 for a high, and that spot market is going to close in 7 hours. We'll be right back on the other side. Stay with us.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, May Day, May the 1st, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you once again Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. My name is William Roberts, and in the first segment, while many of our affiliates were away doing their top-of-the-hour news, weather, and sports breaks, we started out getting the market report under our belt for today. Again, active trading New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was trading off $3 to $883.20 an ounce, and silver was down 10 cents at 1227. All the metals were down today. The Dow Jones closed down yesterday. The NASDAQ was up just a fraction. The USDX is down today, 23 basis points, trading at 84.51. And crude oil is the only real winner here in the list, up 35 cents to $51.47. Of course, as crude goes higher, we're all the losers to there. Nevertheless, the spot market's going to close in 7 hours. We had an $879.20 low in the spot market this morning, 889.10. So we're not breaking out over that 890 point. We did go under the 880 point, so we're in new territory. We'll just see where it goes over the weekend, see what it does on Monday. The foreign exchange rates. Our little basket of currencies here. Get your basket out, Kimmy. Benny's got some currency for you. Here we go. The Canadian dollars, 84 cents today. The Mexican peso's running about 7 cents still. The euro, $1.33 against the U.S. dollar. And the British pound is the big winner in the day. All of these are up, by the way, just little tiny bits. But if you look at them as I do in the 4 points after the decimal range, you can see that there were some percentile moves. But the British pound, the big winner on the day, trading at $1.49 US. So fill up your fill up your cup, as they say. Fill up your cup with foreign currencies, and off we go into the news. Gold steady near 885. The ETFs unchanged. This out of Reuters, Tokyo. Miho Yoshikawa. I'll get it. Yoshikawa. Yes. Is the author. Here we go. Gold prices held steady on Friday around 885 in thin holiday trading, though budding economic optimism has taken some of the sheen off the precious metals as a safe haven asset. Kind of like the way Miho starts that article. It's always nice, you know, you've got to find something clever to say there to get it started. Investors have been shifting more of their money into other assets, notably stocks. Equity markets around the world logged their best monthly gains in years in April after U.S. economic data raised hopes that the deep recession may be easing. Here's a quote. The market seems to be focusing mainly on data that suggests the financial world is stabilizing, said Suji Sugata, a manager of Mitsubishi Corporation Futures and Securities in Tokyo. Analysts said, however, that it was too premature to write off gold, which is down more than 10% from February's 11-month high of $1,000. That's a big drop already, I'll say that for sure. Sugata noted that there were still a slew of events and data that merited watching for the impact on the gold market. These included the release of stress test results, and we're going to cover that in a moment here, stress test results of U.S. banks expected next week, the spread of the new flu strain, and the impact of Chrysler LLC's bankruptcy filing, he said. Koji Suzuki, a senior analyst at SBI Futures Company Limited, said he was optimistic about gold's long-term prospects. Quote, I think gold will be bought if it falls below 880. He said. Sugata added that gold was still being bought on dips, and it's going to continue to be bought on dips too, I would have to say. Continuing dropping down a little bit further, let's see if we've got something. Activity was slow. However, as many markets in Asia were closed on Friday for a holiday, while Japanese markets will be shut for Golden Week holidays next Monday to Wednesday. Quote, much of today's activity is position adjustments ahead of the long holiday, Suzuki said. Gold fell on Thursday as better market sentiment toward the global economy and the metals failure to hold above 900 an ounce tempted investors to take profits. And we've been watching that. You've seen it on the little charts. And I like to start my day off going up to www.kitco.com. Not that I advertise or promote their their website or their business or anything. It's just an interesting website. You've got to look at charts and lots of news and links and other things that you can learn a lot. And I like to start my day there because they have this chart, this 24-hour gold chart, and you can click on that and enlarge it, and you can really see the moves minute by minute, so to speak, throughout the day as it goes round the world in the global marketplace for gold. And you can see these places where we have these deep, steep drop-offs, these declines, you know, just straight-line drops, and you know that somebody came in and sold a lot of gold, taking profit right there. And then, of course, you see the rest of the crowd jump in and they buy it quickly at that lower price. And then maybe there'll be another drop and then so on and so forth throughout the day. You get the idea. It's a chart. Anyway, U.S. stocks fell on Thursday after Chrysler's bankruptcy filing undercut optimism about its upbeat corporate profits and reassuring job market data. But the S&P closed out its best month in 9 years. So there you go. That news. Let's go on to the next one. Got a lot of news for you today. And we'll go through as much of these articles as we can. There's certainly more printed out here than we'll have time. But we talked about this bank stress test. Let's go there next. U.S. bank stress test results delayed as the conclusions are debated. Important one here, a delay by Craig Torres and Robert Schmidt, May Day, Bloomberg. The Federal Reserve is postponing the release of stress tests on the biggest U.S. banks while executives debate preliminary findings with examiners, according to government and industry officials. I would imagine that these stress tests are showing up some information that they would rather not know about. We'll see more of that. Nice hot coffee. The results originally scheduled for publication on May the 4th may not be now be revealed until toward the end of next week. So it's supposed to come out on May the 4th. So what would that be? Second Tuesday? All right, Tuesday. It may not come out until what, Friday perhaps, said the people, who declined to be identified. A new release date may be announced as soon as today, they said. Regulators and bank executives are concerned about how the disclosure is handled because weaker institutions could suffer a collapse in their stock prices. Keep your eyes peeled. Here's the quote. Everybody understands they got a tiger by the tail here, close quote, said Mark Tenhundfeld, a senior vice president of the American Bankers Association in Washington. That'd be them, ABA. Quote, if they don't let him go gently, there will be a lot of mauling going on, close quote. So apparently this is not going to be good news. The 19 firms include Citigroup, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, GMAC LLC, MetLife Inc., and regional lenders, including Fifth Third Bank Corp., Regionals Financials Corporation, and others. The banks in the test hold two-thirds of the assets and more than half of the loans in the U.S. banking system, according to a Fed study released April 24th. Yeah, I'd say they have a tiger by the tail. Regulators are pushing higher minimum capital levels for the banks to determine whether they can survive a worsening recession. Minimum capital levels being the official thing there. The officials favor tangible common equity equal to about 4% of the bank's asset, and Tier 1 capital worth about 6%, for those of you that are familiar with that kind of lingo. We'll pick it up on the other side, finish out this tiger by the tail stress test report. Stay with us.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Oh,
And we've returned once again right here on Become Vocal Local. Going through the news for the day, we're looking at an article here out of Bloomberg. U.S. banks' stress test results delayed as the conclusions are debated. Coming up with another interesting term. Officials favor tangible common equity. Common equity. Tangible common equity. Equal of about 4% of a bank's assets and Tier 1 capital worth about 6%. We're going to see that common equity come back up in this article. Let's drop down a bit. Dominant element, the Fed, which oversaw the stress tests, wants common equity to be, the dominant element in a bank's primary capital. Somebody want to tell me what common equity is? I know what communism is. Community, that we can understand. Common equity. Is that the Fed's share of these banks? Is this the federal government's share of these banks? Just what is common equity? But the Fed wants, which oversaw the stress test, wants common equity to be the dominant element in a bank's primary capital. According to a central bank report on the test methodology released a week ago, TCE is a measure of a bank's financial health that excludes intangible assets such as brand names that can't be readily used as payments. Investors and analysts have focused on the TCE ratio. So now we're raising it up to one of these acronyms, the TCE ratio. The analysts have focused on the TCE ratio as a more accurate benchmark of a bank's ability to absorb losses. And it goes on, regulators typically look at risk-weighted assets when assessing banks' financial strength. The article goes on to talk about the various stock rallies and so on. Then it drops down to this part. Goldman Bagman says the Goldman Sachs signal, while the banks were ordered not to release the result of the stress assessments prematurely, Goldman Sachs yesterday may have provided a hint with its decision to sell bonds and shares, this issuing $2 billion in five-year notes without a government guarantee and making a $750 million stock offering. A spokesman for Goldman Sachs declined to comment. Quote, you can read between the lines on it that nothing adverse will be coming out next week, close quote, about Goldman Sachs, said Ralph Cole, a money manager at Portland, Oregon's based Ferguson Wellman Capital Management, Inc., which oversees $2.2 billion, whatever that is. This looks like a little bit of insider trading there, kind of handy if you happen to know what the results of the stress test assessments are. You can go ahead and offer $2 billion in five-year notes without a government guarantee and make a $750 million stock offering. Geithner's TARP reassurances, same article, last paragraphs of it, Treasury Secretary Timmy Geithner told U.S. lawmakers yesterday that there is no need for new bank bailout money as of now, said Senate Budget Committee Chairman Kent Conrad. He said, no, not in the foreseeable future, and they're not helping, not at all. Say that again. He said, no, not in the foreseeable future, and they're hoping not at all, close quote. So as far as any more of this government bailout money is concerned, it's not in the cards, it looks like. And that would be wonderful. Let's go on a little bit further here. This one has to do with our study of these ETFs and keeping our eyes on what's going on in the SPDR Gold Trust, the world's largest gold-backed exchange-traded fund. Once again, we go back to let's see what we have here. Have I actually gone back to the same authors? Or am I going to repeat something here? Oh, that's not going to be any good. Well, we'll have to go back down to the bottom. Let's go back down to the bottom of this other article that I was starting out. I missed the most important part. This was the article, Gold Steady Near 885, the ETF Unchanged. Missed the important part, I think. I missed it anyway. Gold was at 885 per ounce early this morning, down from New York's national close of 885 on Thursday. U.S. gold futures for June delivery were 886 and so on and so forth. Activity was slow, however, as many markets in Asia were again closed for a holiday. back down further. While investors are shifting their funds to equities, the holdings of the world's largest gold-backed exchange-traded fund, the SPDR Gold Trust, were unchanged at 1,104.45 tons, where they have been since April the 23rd. Now, the last time that I read about these people, there was about 400 tons more in their holdings. I'd have to go back and check my records to be sure. But that, if that's the case, we should be able to find something happening in the market on April the 23rd that might give us an indication of when they sold. Let's continue the last little bit of this article. The trust gold assets fell 23 tons in April after rising more than 98 tons in the preceding 4 weeks. So perhaps we could go back and look right there and anticipate a 23-ton sale in April, which might relate to some of the moves that we've seen in the market. Let's go on to the next article. This one about the World Bank. Rather interesting. Lots of material today. So much. It was almost a different kind of a day in the news. World Bank bonds show what happens when a government's rush to the rescue. This by Gabriel Coppola. Bloomberg again, May 1st. Federal guarantees by 13 countries on more than $400 billion of financial company bonds are punishing the AAA-rated World Bank Group. The World Bank Group, with record borrowing costs, an indication of what can go wrong when government gets in the way. What is the World Bank Group? AAA-rated. The Washington-based World Bank, founded in 1944 to rebuild economies after World War II, sold $6 billion of three-year notes on March the 26th, priced to yield 30 basis points more than the benchmark for such borrowings. The so-called spread was the widest for a dollar-denominated bond offering by the supranational lender. Key phrase there. We've heard about transnationals. We've heard about the internationalists. Of course, we think of national banks. But this is supranational, beyond nations. Beyond nations. We're no longer thinking of nations. We've gotten in a world without borders. We're supranational, above nations. Interesting there. And I didn't realize that the World Bank was a AAA-rated World Bank group. Interesting. Interesting. New stuff you learn every day here on this network. Just 7 months ago, the World Bank paid a record low of 35 basis points, less than the mid-swap rate. Now, these are new terms. I'm giving this out to you so that maybe you can add this to your economic mental knowledge bank, if you will. Less than the mid-swap rate, a market measure for exchanging fixed and floating rate cash flows. The sudden rise in World Bank relative bonds is an unintended consequence of sales of taxpayer-backed debt by more than 50 companies. So you can see that this is a AAA World Bank group, which is a supranational lender, but they have this sudden rise in World Bank relative bond yields as an unintended consequence of sales of taxpayer-backed debt by more than 50 companies, including Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, JP Morgan and Chase. While these special offerings were designed to bring stability to the credit markets after $1.4 trillion in losses and write-downs in the past 28 months, no one realized the World Bank would be depreciated by such government policies. No one realized the World Bank would be depreciated by such government policies. You mean to tell me, for crying out loud, we're throwing $1.4 trillion into a system and somebody forgot to check to see what the impact might be on the World Bank? I find that very hard to believe and really hard to swallow. We'll be back right after this short commercial intermission. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution. Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at PureBulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at PureBulk.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Okay, and we've returned once again, and for those of you that may have only recently begun listening to this broadcast, you can go back in the archives and listen to the couple of day program that we did in regards to an inquiry into the origin, the history, and the purpose of the new economic order. The reason why I went through that whole series there was to lay out some of these players in a chronological order, starting from the Bretton Woods Agreement and coming forward so that we can understand these various and different entities that were created as the new economic order came out of the woodwork and established themselves as institutions. We're going to find out about these institutions a little bit more now, but our previous study will help us to understand more about what this article, where it's going. Continuing again, we're reading from a Bloomberg article, May 1, Gabrielle Coppola, or Coppola, World Bank bonds show what happens when governments rush to the rescue. Rising risks. Now, before I go there, I'm going to go here. Just 7 months ago, the World Bank paid a record low 35 basis points less than the mid-swap rate. That's a new term. A market measure for exchanging fixed and floating rate cash flows. The sudden rise in World Bank relative bond yields is an unintended consequence of sales of taxpayer-backed debt by more than 50 companies. While these special offerings were designed to bring stability to the credit markets after the $1.4 trillion in losses and write-downs in the past 28 months, no one realized the World Bank would be depreciated by such government policies. I mean, I'd like to run that one right up the old Maypole here today. Governments started announcing guarantees for their banks, and then the whole world changed. Said Richardson, a former Goldman Sachs banker. Rising sales, risking risk premiums are also affecting the Washington-based Inter-American Development Bank. Inter-American Development Bank. We can add that to our list of banks in our inquiry into the origin, history, and purpose of the new economic disorder. Anyway, this Inter-American Development Bank, which lends to Latin American and Caribbean countries and Germany's state-owned, and I won't even try it. Well, I might. No, I won't even try it. Germany's got a state-owned bank as well here, whose credits support housing, education, and small businesses. Banks and financial companies worldwide sold 320 billion euros, which is 424 billion U.S., if my math is right, of state-guaranteed debt since October, denominated in euros, dollars, and U.K. pounds. Funny, that's the kind of basket of currency we talk about here every morning. According to Leif Dirks, or Dirks, a fixed income analyst at Barclays Capital in Frankfurt, the Frankfurt am Main, the Rockefeller Rothschilds place. They may issue a total of 900 billion euros in bonds for all of 2009, Dirks said. Now here's another bit. The total includes 235 billion of dollar-denominated debt in the U.S. with backing from the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. So we're throwing $235 billion of dollar-denominated debt into this mix, and we're backing it with the bankrupt FDIC. We're backing up a bankrupt economic system with a bankrupt economic agency. Where do these guys get this stuff? I mean, I need the kind of latte they're drinking. Lenders backed by multiple governments known as supranationals. Now we know what this supranational is. We go back up and look at the World AAA rated World Bank Group. We're defining our terms as we go through this article. Here's the definition again. Boy, where did it go? Lost it. Where did it go? Long article. Financial acumen. The financial acumen of the World Bank, which, oh man, I lost it. There it is. Lenders backed by multiple governments. Those are the ones that are known as supranationals. So you could have a lender like Goldman Sachs that's backed by the United States, Canada, Mexico, England, the Netherlands, Russia, and Israel. And you could be a supranational lender, a supranational bank. Dropping down a little bit further, have the flexibility to borrow billions in multiple currencies and at any part of the yield curve, making their bonds all among the most liquid of securities. So this is kind of like another one of these little insider trading monopolies, but it just gets worse. Financial acumen. The financial acumen of the World Bank, now listen, which pioneered the first use of derivatives to obtain Swiss francs and German marks by exchanging cash flows with International Business Machines Corp. That would be IBM or HAL in the Space Odyssey movie in 1981. Hasn't protected the institution from widening borrowing spreads, continues. The mid-swap index, which contains bonds sold by the World Bank and the IADB, reached a record high, blah, blah, blah. The mid-swap index lies between the bid and asking yields on contracts exchanging fixed for floating interest rate cash flows. I know it went right over your head. I can understand that. But now we're defining these terms. What is a mid-swap index? It lies between the bid and the asking yields on contracts exchanging fixed for floating interest rate cash flows. And on it goes. Now we get into even more. Talks about the World Bank, which now finances AIDS prevention in Botswana, will more than double its borrowings to as much as $35 billion this year to help provide food, health, and education services through the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development. And so this thing never ends. It just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Here's another bit. The International Monetary Fund. These are all the critters we talked about in this inquiry into the origin, history, and purpose of the new economic order. But here we have the International Monetary Fund, again, a Washington-based agency of the United Nations that monitors the global economy, may sell its first bonds to China and Brazil to raise money to combat the downturn. Oh, and it just goes on and on. I've had enough. But it does. This article is lengthy. I'm keeping it for research. Here's another interesting one. I do print these things out and keep them in the file with the Daily Show information so that I understand what we went over. But I also go back and I look at this stuff because it's inevitable that this is going to have greater and greater meaning as time goes by. You're not going to publish this kind of stuff. Bloomberg's not going to print this kind of stuff if they don't want it out there for public consumption. So it just helps us to understand the other side, if you will. I found this one rather telling. Souter said to be retiring, giving Obama court a choice, by Greg Storr, May 1st, Bloomberg, U.S. Supreme Court Justice David Souter is planning to retire, giving President Barry the Usurper his first chance to shape the nation's highest court, a person familiar with that decision said. Now hold on to your hats. Souter, 69, a Republican appointee, became a supporter of abortion rights and affirmative action. Of course, we can go into that affirmative action. Affirmative action is the way one party styles it. That's the Democrats. And voluntary compliance is the way that the Republicans style it, or vice versa. But they're interchangeable terms in the meta language of globalism. Affirmative action equals voluntary compliance. Bet you didn't know that. Plans to step down when the court's terms conclude in June or early July, the person said. The White House was informed of his intentions, the person said. This would be the guy that was standing behind the curtain, probably. Because Souter has generally been a member of the court's liberal wing, back to this specialist liberal and conservative argument, his replacement isn't likely to shift the court's balance on many issues. Still, by naming a younger successor, Obama will have a chance to put his imprint on the court for decades. Don't you like that? Barry the Usurper is going to appoint a Supreme Court justice. Perhaps that would be the Supreme Court justice that would demand, as soon as he's seated on the bench, that Barry the Usurper produce his birth certificate. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Because Souter has generally been a member of the court's liberal wing. Just file that away. Dropping down a bit here. Obama, I hate using that phrase, Barry Sortoro, Barry the Usurper, the unqualified one, however you want to look at it. Obama should nominate someone who, like Souter, will, quote, defend our personal freedoms and ensure that every person has equal access to justice. Do you remember Justice Souter, by the way? He was up there in that Pfizer case. What was that case? It was a town up in the Northeast that had, what was the name of that town? Anybody know? Maybe somebody will tell me in the chat room. They were going up against Pfizer. Pfizer wanted to put in an industrial park, and the local homeowners were getting forced off of their land through the process of eminent domain, which sparked the firestorm of eminent domain legislation across America, essentially, or obstinate. Hey, we'll have to pick it up on the other side. Maybe I'll remember between now and then. Stay with us.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com, or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
And we're back, and yes, my mind finally did kick in and work for me. It was the Kelo, I think, versus New London case, Pfizer. You might remember that, but that was a very a tipping point there in Souter's career. He, I think, was the one that wrote the final opinion on that. But they ruled in favor of being able to take people's property, take away from Party A and give to Party B if Party B had the prospect or offered the opportunity of bringing in greater tax revenue to the community, to the jurisdiction, the municipality, whatever it is, state otherwise. And that was that's a landmark case, by the way. So Souter is getting out of the way here. He's getting away gracefully, but they say that this was a liberal move, and I see that it is, but how specious it is for him to say, or this person to write, that Barry the Usurper should nominate someone who, like Souter, will defend our personal freedoms and ensure that every person has equal access to justice. Marge Baker, the executive vice president of the Liberal People for the American Way, based in Washington, said in a statement. Pay attention now. During his presidential campaign, the Usurper said he wanted to appoint judges, here's the quote, who demonstrate sound judgment and empathy, who understand how law operates in our daily lives, close quote. And continuing from the Bloomberg article here by Greg Storr, the president, the usurper, is almost certain to nominate a woman. According to many court watchers, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a 76-year-old who is being treated for pancreatic cancer, is currently the only female justice. The president, who will also will come under pressure to name the first Hispanic to the high court. Here are the potential nominees. Potential nominees include Elena Kagan, 49, who the usurper named to be the first female solicitor general, the administrator's top courtroom lawyer. Sonia Sotomayor, 54, a Hispanic federal appeals judge in New York, and Diane Wood, 58, a federal appeals court judge in Chicago who served with Barry the Usurper on the faculty at the University of Chicago Law School. Again, the same university that we find Leo Strauss teaching in. the father of the neocons. Obama also might look to Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano, 51, or Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm, 50. NBC News and National Public Radio first reported Souter's decision. Supreme Court spokeswoman Kathy Arberg said the justice had no comment on these reports by making his plans known now rather than waiting until the end of the term, as other justices have done. Souter gives Barry the usurper extra time to choose a successor and ensure Senate confirmation before the next term starts in October, so we can just be looking forward to that. Let's see if there's anything else in this article. Yes, there is. Older colleagues. Souter's retirement will come at a relatively young age. Five of his colleagues are older than him, including 89-year-old John Paul Stevens. Souter supported gay rights, restrictions on the death penalty, and limits on presidential power, blah, 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 jumping down, upheld the right to abortion, established in 1973. Here's a quote, to overrule Roe, that would be Roe versus Wade, quote, would subvert the court's legitimacy beyond any reasonable question. So on the one hand, they call him a liberal, I suppose, and defend our personal freedoms and ensure that every person has equal access to justice while we tear fetuses from the woman's womb. Anyway, everybody has an opinion when it comes to abortion. It's not my body, right? So what am I to say? There's another article in here. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Got one more in here. Here we go. Thought this was rather interesting. You might want to hear this one. You can see this hour is just like flashing by. I thought this was going to be a very slow day. I was going to have to improvise, and I'm not having to do that. Silverstein Properties launches Manhattan's tallest rental. Silverstein's Properties launches Manhattan's tallest rental. This is by Jason Schefftel. Found this one in the New York Daily News. He's a real estate correspondent. Friday, May the 1st, 2009, 4 o'clock in the morning. In the middle of the city's toughest real estate climate since the early 1990s, local developer Larry Silverstein and team are bringing to market the granddaddy of New York rental properties. The granddaddy of New York rental properties. Leasing starts next week at the Silver Towers. Two 60-story glass structures at 42nd Street and 11th. Two 60-story glass structures at 42nd Street and 11th. On the corner of 11th. On the corner of 11th. Two 60-story glass structures. The second World Trade Center towers. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Just drop down a little bit more. These are going to be rentals, by the way. The tower contains 1,042 market rate rentals with studios beginning at 2,300 and 200 plus affordable apartments previously available through a housing lottery. Housing lottery. Here's a quote. It's no secret that I gravitate towards large scale projects, close quote, said Silverstein, the developer who leased the World Trade Center weeks before the terror attacks. Here's another quote. These are state-of-the-art in every way, with higher ceilings, tiled public hallways, glass facades for constant views, a 75-foot indoor pool, and an atrium. They're spectacular, close quote. And they should be. Took 25 years to build. It was 1984 when Silverstein spotted the empty block between 42nd and 41st Streets from 11th to 12th Avenues. Here's another quote. It's not every day you can take possession of a full block without any tenants to buy out, says the developer. Let me say that again for you. It's not every day you can take possession of a full block without any tenants to buy out. Of course, with the World Trade Center towers, we didn't have to worry about buying out the tenants. We didn't even let the tenants come out of the building. Just demolished them right on top of their heads. How can this piece of human filth and his family continue to walk free in America? I don't understand it. I was salivating, he said. Quote unquote, I was salivating but zoning for the single story industrial use was, but zoning was for single story industrial use. I wanted to buy it with contingencies on that changing, but the owner, I think he was Swiss, said take it or leave it, close quote. Persistent, the Bedford-Stuyvesant born Silverstein went to Mayor Ed Koch, or Coach, or Cock, asking for something for the city had never granted, flexible zoning, which would allow him to build rentals, hotels, condos, and ground floor retail with parking and little height restriction. Koch, seeing an opportunity to further West Side development, told Silverstein he wouldn't stand in the way as long as, check this phrase out again, as long as zoning czar Herb Sturtz agreed. What's with this zoning czar? Why do we keep hearing this in the news every week? Somebody else has been made a czar. A czar of this and a czar of that. The drug czar, the zoning czar. The zoning czar, Herb Sturz, S-T-U-R-Z. Well, anyway, he got his way on that one. He was able to get the zoning changed from a single-story industrial to these high-rise multi-residentials. This is all green building, by the way, if you don't understand it. Shops and things on the bottom floors and residential housing up on the top. I won't read the rest of it. It's a long article. It really takes a lot. It goes into a lot. If you want to find it, it's on the New York Daily News. Excuse me. New York Daily News, nydailynews.com, and you could type in Silverstein Properties. That might just hit right on top of it, or Jason Sheftel. I'll close out with this little bit here. You do something, this is a quote, you do something this big because you are possessed by the desire to build first-class product. You do something this big because you are possessed by the desire to build first-class product. If your goal is to get in and out and sell quickly, then only fools should do it. But if your goal is long-term holding for growth and capital appreciation for your family, like ours, and to make the city stronger, that creates a much more enduring product. If your goal is long-term holding for growth and capital appreciation for your family, like ours, maybe we need to revisit all of the Silverstein family now that we have something we can seize as an asset to repay some of the debt to America. Stay right there. We'll be back on the other side for the second hour.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solution. solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to the Friday, May Day, Communist May Day, 2009 two-hour broadcast to become vocal local as we start our second hour. Coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. The OracleBroadcasting.com is the home site of this radio broadcast and this network. Go there, visit it today. Certainly jump into the chat room if you'd like. You can also get involved with the broadcast telephonically simply by picking up the telephone and calling in. With those with unlimited long distance or in the Austin, Texas area, you can call 512-904-8014 and join us live on air. And from around America to around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. And, of course, your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. In the first part of the broadcast, we went into the market reports, and then we went into a long bank of news articles, closing out with this article in regards to Larry Silverstein and his new Twin Towers project, a residential housing unit that he's completing. And I can understand that if he's been after it for 20-some-odd years and it's in the many millions and millions of dollars and it's got two twin glass towers 60 stories high, you can understand why the city of New York wouldn't press too hard on old Larry Silverstein for his participation and complicity in the destruction of the World Trade Center towers, the Building 7, the big question mark there. The live burning sacrifice visited upon the people of New York and Washington and Pennsylvania, Shanksville, elsewhere. What a guy. How can he even possibly be allowed to roam around this country, he and his family, up to their eyeballs in mass murder? Unbelievable. Last evening, I did have the opportunity to go to Joplin, a town not far from us, about 50 miles north of here, thereabouts, and I listened to a one-hour presentation given by John McManus, the president of the John Birch Society and the publisher of the New American Magazine. He gave a talk on the America's economic meltdown. As it turned out, there was a very scant audience, and it really didn't lend itself to trying to get an interview or anything like that, and we didn't have a videographer there. Nevertheless, the presentation was pretty standard, things that we've all heard before. But I was able to talk with him briefly after the conference, after his presentation, and he did agree to come on here and join us on Become Vocal Local. So I look forward to working out the scheduling details and having the founder, or not the founder, but certainly the standing existing president of the John Birch Society, join us live on air so that you'll have the opportunity to call in with any of your questions during the broadcast. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Anyway, so I look forward to that. I really do. He gave a very good presentation. Seemed like a right for, you know, person talking with him. And, of course, as we got to the end of the discussion, I asked him whether or not, you know, he knew Dr. Stan. And he did, and he's known him for many, many years, and he's been on that broadcast this past week, as a matter of fact. So, nod, nod, wink, wink for all those with ears to hear. Anyhow, we'll definitely look forward to that. I think that his presentation was good. His delivery was good. He looked to appear to be in good health, and so we'll just see where all of that goes from there. Going down a little bit further, let's go back into this discussion, the study, if we will, of anarchy. And again, one of the reasons, one of the primary reasons that I'm trying to bring this out and drawing this distinction day after day is so that we can understand the history and the origins of this concept. You know, and back to the dictionary study, an anarch is, it's a compound term, an and arc. And we found that looking at that, that an is that prefix an, which also is ni, but an indicates not or without, not or without an arch. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate control clock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
And we have returned right here on the Friday, May the 1st, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. If you don't have your Jacobin caps on and your big red flag to go out and parade around with, well, then you're just not a commie anyway. Or I should say a Democrat or a Republican. Well, I'm completely confused. How about you? My name is William Roberts. You're listening to Become Vocal Local here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Let's go back into our study. We're trying to figure out, actually not really trying to figure out, what I'm trying to do is to lay out the foundation, if you will, of not only religions, but also governments. And we've gone all the way back to Sumer and Babylon, Egypt, to begin our study. And we covered the Egyptians earlier, and we started in on Mesopotamia. There's been lots of convergence in Mesopotamia. It's a much more complex issue than Egypt to cover briefly on air. So let's go in. We're going to continue along on this direction. I'm very interested to keep this going for a couple more days because we're getting into a position or a place here where we bring the Hebrews into this process as well. And from there, then we'll go off to Athens, Sparta, Greece, Rome, and then in towards the Reformation. So we start to really come around because we want to tie this Gordian knot together and understand this development of this idea of anarchism together. We do need to visit these places. There's a lot to it. It's a big issue. It's a really big shoe, as Ed Sullivan might have said. Let's continue here. Old Babylonian contributions. Although the old Babylonians were an alien nation, in other words, they came from the other side, they had lived long enough in close contact with the Sumerians to be influenced profoundly by them. They had no culture of their own, worthy of the name, when they came into the valley, and in general, they simply appropriated what the Sumerians had already developed. And this is so important in all of this discussion. As we rage about like raving or roaring lions, if you will, conquering and reconquering so much of the same turf over 5,000 year period. So again, they had no culture of their own worthy of the name when they came into the valley, and in general, they simply appropriated what the Sumerians had already developed with so excellent a foundation to build upon, they should have made remarkable progress, but such was not the case. When they ended their history, the state of the civilization in the Tigris-Euphrates Valley was no more advanced than when they began. First, among the significant changes which the old Babylonians made in their cultural inheritance, may be mentioned the political and legal, and we've talked about that, the difference between the ethical and the legal. Vestiges of the old system, oops, don't want to do that, can't do that, well, I was trying to skip an important sentence there. As military conquerors holding in subjection numerous vanquished nations, they found it necessary to establish a consolidated state. So if we want to start to put a point of beginning on this rise of statism, we can go right back to old Babylon, we can go back to Egypt, we can go to Sumer even, this idea. But again, they were found it necessary to form or establish a consolidated state. And of course, as George Washington and the boys came out of Valley Forge and were successful in the war for independence, they too looked towards forming a consolidated state, founded as they were as military conquerors. Things remain so much the same as time changes. Vestiges of the old system of local autonomy were swept away. You can just do your own mental replacements as we read this stuff. We could say vestiges of the old system of state sovereignty were swept away. And the power of the king of Babylon was made supreme. A system of royal taxation was adopted. Can you say Alexander Levine Hamilton? A system of royal taxation was adopted, as well as compulsory military service. Can you say, bury the usurper? Go back to the draft again. The system of law was also changed to conform to the new conditions. And we see that now, as the legal positivists are just running wild in Washington. The list of crimes against the state was enlarged. Have we seen that as well? And the king's officers assumed a more active role in apprehending and punishing offenders. Fusion centers. The National Incident Management System. Concentration camps, anyone? Although it was still impossible for any criminal to be pardoned without the consent of the victim or the victim's family, period. The severity of penalties was decidedly increased, particularly for crimes involving any suggestion of treason or sedition, Patriot Act. Such apparently trivial offenses as gadding about and disorderly conduct of a tavern were made punishable by death. Gadding about, you know, like going out and walking around the lake, walking your dog, riding your bicycle, gadding about, sitting around, shooting the breeze on a fence post stump or something. Tree stump. Disorderly conduct of a tavern. Having a little bit too much fun. Punishable by death. Probably on the assumption that they would likely be harbor, or they would likely foster disloyal activities. You wouldn't want anybody not to be wearing their flag, would you? You see where these ideas come from. A lot of the historians in these various and sundry think tanks, they comb through history. They gather up the cuneiform tablets. And they collect the wisdom of their ancestors, if you will. Continuing along here, whereas under the Sumerian law, harboring of fugitive slaves was made punishable merely by a fine, the Babylonian law made it a capital crime. Harboring of fugitive slaves. You find that in the Constitution. Adultery was also made a capital offense, whereas under the Sumerian law it did not even necessarily result in a divorce. In a few particulars, the new system of law revealed some improvements. Wives and children sold for debt could not be held in bondage for longer than 4 years, while a female slave who had borne her master a child could not be sold at all. The old Babylonian laws also reflect a somewhat more extensive development of business than that which existed in the preceding cultures. Those who traded for profit enjoyed a privileged position in society is evidenced by the fact that the commercial provisions of Hammurabi's code were based upon the principle, let the buyer beware, caveat emptor. So we can see that this expansion of commerce came in under these Babylonians too. The Interstate Commerce Commission, the Uniform Commercial Code, etc. The Babylonian rulers did not believe in a regime free of competition, however. Trade, banking, and industry were subject to elaborate regulation by the state. You can see the corollaries there today. There were laws regarding partnership, storage, and agency, laws respecting deeds, wills, and the taking of interest on money, and a great host of others. For a deal to be negotiated without a written contract or without witnesses was punishable by death. And now you understand why there were so many cuneiform tablets found in all those big warehouses full of the records of these people. It was punishable by death if it wasn't written down. We'll be back. Stay with you.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
And we've returned once again, and I am using the same book. This is Western Civilizations. It's a university textbook, 6th edition, written by an Edward McNall Burns. This was published back in the 60s. Let's see if I can turn to that again and get it. There's so many, 1963. It was 1st edition, was 1941. So there's a spread there of 22 years of revision. But as I've said before, this particular author is very, very assiduous in his scribing bibliographical material at the end of each of these sections to cover the information that's been presented, as well as providing an additional list of materials that one could go to and reference for depth, in greater depth and knowledge on these various subjects. And as I'm reading and have been reading ahead, I've been reading quite a bit ahead in this book, so far things are lining up fairly well with my research. I'm not going to attest to the absolute accuracy of all of this, but this gentleman, in a very brief way, is painting out thousands of years of history in just, so far, 75 pages, and that's how far we've come into the book during this series. But let's go on again a little bit further and understand what's underlying these civilizations, how they're set up. Again, trade, banking, and industry were subject to elaborate regulations by the state. And there were laws regarding partnerships, storage, and agency, laws respecting deeds and wills, the taking of interest, and so on. And all of these things had to be written down. And if they weren't written down, and if there weren't witnesses, then it was punishable by death. There's nothing in here, and it was all based on buyer beware. No contracts, no warranties. Buyer beware. And all of this stuff in here, flies in the face of the idea that that you could the man's word is his bond and a handshake or is as good as a kiss, It all had to be written down, every little track and trace. I'm sure that was so that they could be reviewed and analyzed and calculated. These guys were not completely stupid, but they were despotic. The code provided penalties for failure to cultivate a field and neglect for dikes and canals. The code provided penalties for failure to cultivate a field. The tenant farmer was required to pay 2/3 of all that he produced as rent. And both government ownership and private tenure of the land was permitted. Regardless of the status of the owner, the tenant farmer again was required to pay 2/3 of all he produced as rent, 66% tax. That's just about in line with what we've got going today in America. And we can understand in here that you're required to work your ground. That's like the International Property Maintenance Code. You're required to paint your house. You're required to mow your lawn. You're required to trim your bushes and trees. And if you don't, there'll be a fine following. If you don't pay the fines, you can be thrown off your property. Very much like the National Animal Identification System. If you don't comply with all of these tenets and rules, the fines can be tremendous. Just like HR, 875, the food security, so much is the same here. They're just rolling Babylon out on top of us again. Religion at the hands of the old Babylonians. Here we go into religion now. We've gone from the culture and the law, and now we're going into the religion. Religion at the hands of old Babylonians underwent numerous changes, both superficial and profound. Deities that had been venerated by the Sumerians were now neglected, and new ones exalted in their stead. This is a repeating philosophy throughout the ages, folks. Man invents his gods. Just going to have to accept that. Marduk, originally the local god of the town of Babylon, was elevated to the highest position in the pantheon. Ishtar remained the chief goddess. Tammuz, her brother and lover, who had been of no special significance in the Sumerian religion, now became the third most important divinity. So we've got Marduk, Ishtar, and Tammuz. His death in the autumn and the resurrection in the spring symbolized the death and the rebirth of vegetation. So you get the idea of what this idea of death and resurrection is all about for thousands of years here. But the death and resurrection of the god had more than a symbolic meaning. Vaguely, at least, they were conceived as the real causes of the natural process themselves, and the god's rites were a form of magic. They carried no spiritual significance, however, conveying no promise of resurrection of man from the dead or of personal immortality. And we'll see, as we proceed through here, how things have changed. The old Babylonians were no more otherworldly in their outlook than the Sumerians. So they're largely five-sense people. They had their feet grounded on the ground here of the planet Earth, and they were not looking to the heavens for anything other than just astrological stuff and magic. Keeping track of what's happening in nature, watching for those equinoxes and other auspicious days, if you will. Equally noteworthy was an increase in superstition. Astrology, divination, and other forms of magic took on added significance. A morbid consciousness of sin gradually displaced the essentially amoral attitude of the Sumerians. This morbid consciousness of sin coming in here with the old Babylonians. In addition, an increased emphasis was placed upon the worship of demons. Nergal, the god of the plague, came to be envisioned as a hideous monster seeking every chance to strike down his victims, just the way FEMA and everybody else is going on about the hog sweats and squirts. Nergal, the god of the plague, is coming to be envisioned as this hideous monster seeking every chance to strike down its victims. We've got to close down, lock down our schools and close down our businesses in Europe and America and down in Mexico. Hordes of other demons and malevolent spirits lurked in the darkness and rode through the air, bringing terror and destruction to all in their path. You understand why children are frightened, you know, when we get into these kind of things, but they had the whole people frightened about this. Fear, fear, fear. Hordes of demons and other malevolent spirits lurking in the darkness, people becoming afraid of the darkness. And rode through the air, bringing terror and destruction to all in their path. You can imagine all of the various all of the writings, actually hieroglyphs and the inscriptions that show things flying around in the air. Some people think, oh, that's a helicopter. Maybe. Took a long time for people to come up with that. Oh, those are spaceships. They might just be demons too, you know, flying through the air. Against them, there was no defense except sacrifices and magic charms. So now you can see why the reason for the season is you get people so wigged out and freaked out about all of these demons and all the things that go bump in the night that they rush in and they buy these magic charms and make sacrifices. If the old Babylonians did not invent witchcraft, they were at least the first quote-unquote civilized people to magnify it to serious proportions. Their laws invoked the death penalty against it, and there is evidence that the power of witches was widely feared. Whether the growth of demonology and witchcraft was due to the increasing unhealthfulness of the climate of the Tigris-Euphrates Valley or to the gloomy mentality of the people themselves is a question which cannot be answered, but it's probable that the former is the chief explanation. There seems to be little doubt that intellectually and artistically the Mesopotamian civilization suffered a partial decline during the period of Babylonian rule. We need to understand what the pursuit of happiness is, as it was found, you know, crafted and shaped in the minds of our founders. There's a reason why we have higher thinking. It helps to keep the people cheerful and progressive, I guess you could say, hate that word, but doing things, happy, you know, human beings, humming bees. Keep the people happy. Don't let their religion get to be so weird and freaky that it scares everybody to death. Anyway, back into this again a little bit. I can hear the music coming. We'll pick it up on the other side and find out about the decline of intellect and the arts in Babylon.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate control clock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Okay, and so we're back once again here on Become Vocal Local, as Jeff has reminded us all. And I thank you, Jeff, for making those voiceovers for me. Really like you, buddy. Anyway, back into the talk here. We're talking about the decline of the intellect of and the arts of these old Babylonians. So much to understand in all of this, you know. We get swept away in this modern-day education. We can't remember yesterday, much less 500 years ago, which is such a shame because history is very interesting. The development of human beings those socialized, politically socialized creatures that walk the face of the earth and are so inventive, so creative, and can be so wonderful. We can also be very wickedly, you know, delightfully wicked as well, I guess. But nevertheless, we just get led so far astray in all of the things that we do. This is a fantastic place. I like to think of the planet Earth as a vacation planet, and there's a bunch of turds on this planet that are trying to spoil our vacation, and I've just about had it. How about you? If I can't get this situation straightened out and enjoy the last of my vacation, I want my ticket money refunded. I'm sick of it. Anyway, let's go back into this ranting here for no reason. Again, literature showed some improvement over the earlier writings, especially in the famous Gilgamesh epic. Who's read the Gilgamesh epic? Very interesting. A story of the mighty deeds of a supernatural adventurer, Gilgamesh. Although most of the legends themselves were of Sumerian origin, it was Babylonian poets who wove them into powerful descriptive style, a kind of prototype of the Book of Job. The so-called Babylonian Job was also written in this period. It relates the story of a pious sufferer who is inflicted, he knows not why, and it contains some mature reflections on the helplessness of man and the impenetrable mysteries of the universe. Mysteries. Mysteries. As an example of the Oriental philosophy, it was not without merit. The graphic arts, on the other hand, definitely deteriorated. The Babylonians lacked the creative interest and the talent to duplicate the fresh and ingenious carvings and engravings of the Sumerians. Moreover, sculpture fell under the domination of religious and political conventions, with the result that originality was stifled. With the result that originality was stifled. Amazing. Anyway, let's move forward. We've gone from the Sumerians to the old Babylonians, and now we bring in the Assyrians. Of all the people of the Mesopotamian area after the time of the Sumerians, the Assyrians went through the most completely independent evolution. For several centuries, they had a comparatively isolated existence on top of their small plateau in the upper valley of the Tigris. Again, we bring in the geography as an understanding of how people develop. The geographic locations, the vast difference between the Tigris and the Euphrates and the Nile Valley, and here we see this mountaintop stronghold of the Assyrians. Eventually, they came under the influence of the Babylonians, but not until after the course of their own history had been partially fixed. As a consequence, the period of Assyrian supremacy, here's the dates, from about 1300 BC to 612 BC. You see, we're creeping right up into the modern era. Had more nearly a peculiar character than any other of the Mesopotamian history. The Assyrians were preeminently a nation of warriors. A nation of warriors. Not because they were racially different from any of the other Semites, but because of their special condition of their own environment. Their situation was strikingly similar to that of the modern Japanese, except that they lived on a plateau instead of on a group of islands. The limited resources of their original home and the constant danger of attack from hostile nations around them forced the development of warlike habits and imperial ambitions. And you could go over to Germany at the time, the roll-up between World War I and World War II, and prior to World War I, and you could see the same issues cropping up. The German people were worried about feeding themselves and defending themselves against their neighbors as they became more communistic in origin. Let's continue. The more they conquered, the limited resources of their original home and the constant danger of attack from hostile nations around them forced the development of warlike habits and imperial ambitions. It is therefore not strange that their greed for territory should have known no limits. Their greed for territory should have had no limits. And we can see that today with this modern Zionist state Israel and their greater Israel maps. I don't know whether you follow the American Free Press newspaper or not, but it must have been about a year ago or so that they had a map that showed this great area that Israel would like to have incorporated within its bounds. This is part of the reason for the morphing of the term Near East, which used to include all of the Mediterranean coastal region and into Iraq, the Near East, into what we now call the war in the Middle East. You see, it's this war for greater Israel, if you will, in that regard. Continuing along here, every success excited ambition and riveted the chains of militarism more firmly than ever. Disaster was inevitable. I mean, this is almost prophetic writing here, this author, but it's just simply the story of the Assyrians. He could be talking about the 21st century, the Hundred Years' War that John McStain would like to see visited upon the people of this country. The exigencies of war determined the whole character of the Assyrian system. The state was a great military machine. Dwight Eisenhower warned us of that in his farewell address. To be careful about this military-industrial complex and John Kennedy warning about this secret cabal for the same reasons. The army commanders were at once the richest and the most powerful class in the country. Not only did they share in the plunder of war, but they were frequently granted huge estates as rewards for victory. As Jorge Bush goes down to Paraguay and builds his hacienda. At least one of them, Sargon II, dared to usurp the throne. The military establishment itself represented the last word in preparedness. Preparedness. Disaster preparedness. Everybody's getting prepared. FEMA. Hazard mitigation planning, emergency operation plan, continuity of government, and we could just go on and on. The military establishment, again, reiterating itself, it represented the last word in preparedness. The standing army greatly exceeded in size that of any other nation of the Near Orient or the Near East. Of course, they're all Orientals. They don't like to say that, but that's what it's all about, the Orient. New and improved armaments and techniques of fighting gave to the Assyrian soldiers unparalleled advantages. Iron swords, heavy bows, long lances, battering rams, fortresses on wheels, metal breastplates, shields, and helmets were only a few examples of their superior equipment. Improved armaments and techniques of fighting as we move out into space with the laser platforms. But swords and spears and engines of war were not the only instruments of combat. As much as anything else, the Assyrians depended upon frightfulness as a means of overcoming their enemies. Shock and awe. Shock and awe. Shekinah. Upon captured soldiers in battle, I should continue, against their enemies. Upon soldiers captured in battle, and sometimes upon non-combatants as well, they inflicted unspeakable cruelties. Guantanamo Bay. All those other little places over there. Listen to this. They inflicted unspeakable cruelties, skinning them alive, impaling them on stakes, cutting off ears, noses, and sex organs, and then exhibiting the mutilated victims in cages for the benefit of cities that had not yet surrendered. This is the beginning of terrorism. Accounts of these cruelties are not taken from atrocity stories circulated by the enemies. They come from the records of the Assyrians themselves. Their chroniclers boasted of them as evidence of valor, and the people believed in them as guarantees of security and power. It is clear why the Assyrians were the most hated of all the nations of antiquity. There is much grist for the mill of the pacifist in the military history of Assyria. There has never been a better illustration of the unwisdom of conquest and the folly of brute force. Talking about America now, or are we talking about Assyria? We'll be back. Stay with us.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Yes, and we have returned trolling for salmon, and all we could come up with was one little shrimp. Anyway, back to our text here, closing out a little bit of this discussion about the Assyrians. The next phase in all of this discussion, of course, we're going to go into Persia and watch how that unfolds. Then we'll go into the Hebrews and so on. The plot thickens. It gets more interesting as we go through. But nevertheless, and I should say nonetheless, nonetheless, there are lessons that we can and perhaps should and perhaps ought learn about history. We see the same sorts of stuff coming down the pike as we find back here in these days, as one after another of these various ancient civilizations in the Nile and the Tigris-Euphrates valleys collapses on top of each other. Like a bunch of pigs rooting over a pile of corn. They can't seem to keep their act together. But they're also teaching us things because each of them are trying out different forms of government and different forms of religion and different forms of social culture and rising out of those different forms of government and culture and tradition comes different achievements, and we look at those achievements and we can see their traces all the way to today in all of the above. But unfortunately, like I've said so many times in the past, government seems to proceed on along the lines of this small-town football coach, always going with the same play right up the middle for 3 yards. They just keep rolling this stuff out century after century, decade after decade. as they haven't had a good new, you know, good new idea in a long time. And there's really nothing at all new about a new world order. So let's look a little bit more at Assyria. Assyria's period of imperial splendor lasted little more than a century. I'll say it again. Assyria's period of imperial splendor lasted little more than a century. So as we had all of these Eastern Europeans flooding into the country, bringing along with them all of the various seeds and kernels of socialism and communism, progressivism, all these various and sundry isms embedding themselves within our governments, in our towns and in our cities and in our states and at the federal level, building all of these administrations, reaching into our pockets deeply and crippling our nation. We go into this last 100 years, the 20th century, and we find ourselves in this period of imperial splendor, and here, little more than 100 years later, in 2009, going into 2010 and 12, we see that our system is collapsing. Nation after nation conspired against her and finally accomplished her downfall. Her enemies took frightful vengeance. The whole land was so thoroughly sacked and the people so completely enslaved or exterminated that it has been difficult to trace any subsequent Assyrian influence upon history. Could that be in the cards for our country? Being led astray by these Assyrians, the power and security which military strength was supposed to provide proved a mockery in the end. If Assyria had been utterly defenseless, her fate could hardly have been worse. With so complete an absorption in military pursuits, it was inevitable that the Assyrians should have neglected in some measure the arts of peace. Such progress as they did made was largely conditioned by the factors of war. There was no further development of industry and commerce, for the Assyrians scorned such pursuits as beneath the dignity of a soldierly people, as we outsource all of our jobs around the world. Why, that's work for the goyim. They're just doing jobs that Americans won't do. As compared with thousands of business tablets left by the old Babylonians, only a few hundred have ever been found at Nineveh. The whale spits out Jonah at Nineveh. The minimum of manufacturing and trade which had to be carried on was left to the Arameans, a people closely related to the Phoenicians and the Hebrews. The Assyrians themselves preferred to derive their living from agriculture. The land system included both public and private holdings. Public and private holdings. Public-private partnerships. The temples held the largest share of the landed wealth. We see that all the way up until England time. Oh my. All the estates of the crown were likewise extensive. They were constantly being diminished by grants to the army officers. I stand today upon a piece of property granted or warranted off to an individual for service in the Civil War here in southwest Missouri. And many of the properties here have not patents but warrants. The land being parceled out, if you will, grants to the army officers. Numerous private citizens were also the owners of freehold estates. Neither the economic nor the social order was sound. The frequent military campaigns depleted the energies and the resources of the nation. In the course of time, the army officers became a pampered aristocracy, delegating their duties to the subordinates and devoting themselves to luxurious pleasures. $1 million bonuses. The stabilizing influence of a prosperous and an intelligent middle class was precluded by the rule that only foreigners could engage in commercial activities. Only foreigners could engage in commercial activities as we export our jobs around the world. And the middle class, the stabilizing influence of a prosperous and intelligent middle class has in America been reduced to the level of Bolivian peasants in a scant 40 years. Yet more serious was the treatment accorded to the lower classes, the serfs and the slaves. The former comprised the bulk of the rural population. Some of them cultivated definite portions of their masters' estates and retained a part of what they produced for themselves. Others were, quote-unquote, empty men, without even a plot to cultivate, and dependent on the need for seasonal labor to produce or provide for their means of subsistence. Do you feel as though you might be an empty man, quote-unquote, without even a plot to cultivate, dependent on the need for seasonal labor to provide for your means of subsistence? Have you read the United Nations International Migration and Development Agenda as I have? Do you understand that we're to, in the future, just kind of migrate, wander like serfs, seeking seasonal labor wherever we can find it on the planet Earth, with no, in a world with no borders, under a GIS, a geographic information system, and a GPS, a geospatial positioning system, a GIS, GPS, global governance system, a program of action. Do you feel like an empty man without even a plot to cultivate? All were extremely poor and were subject to the additional hardships of labor on the public works and compulsory military service programs. Bury the usurper, ring a bell? The slaves, who were chiefly an urban working class, were really of two different types. The domestic slaves, who performed household duties and sometimes engaged in business for their masters, and the war captives. The former were not numerous and were allowed a great deal of freedom, even to the extent of owning property. The latter suffered much greater miseries, bound by heavy shackles. They were compelled to labor to the point of exhaustion in building roads, canals, and palaces. Labor camps, my friends? Whether the Assyrians adopted the law of the old Babylonians has never been settled. Undoubtedly, they were influenced by it, but several of the features of Hammurabi's code are entirely absent. Notable among these are the lex talionis and the system of gradation of penalties according to the rank of the victim and the offender. And there's more. The Babylonians prescribed the most drastic punishments for crimes suggestive of treason and sedition. The Assyrians reserved theirs for such offenses as abortion and unnatural vice, probably for the military reason of preventing a decline in the birth rate. Another contrast is the more complete subjection of Assyrian women. Wives were treated as chattels of their husbands. The rights of divorce was placed entirely in the hands of the male. A plurality of wives was permitted, and all married women were forbidden to appear in public with their faces unveiled. Here, according to Professor Olmsted, was the beginning of the Oriental seclusion of women. Folks, we'll pick it up again on Monday. Have a great weekend. I hope you get out and do something in the yard and do a little gardening. Till then, bye-bye.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.